This podcast is a Smelling Good production.
That's smelling good.
The door is wide open.
Anybody could walk in.
Who's it gonna be?
I don't know.
Do a squat with your quad.
Nice bud.
Catch a cod.
Carbon rod.
Oh my god.
Join our squad.
It's Friend of the Pod. Hello, friend of the podcasters. How are ya? William Boyd here. This is a very special episode of Friend of the Pod. We don't have a Patreon, as you know, by listening to this podcast. So this is just going to be a little bonus ep, little surprise gift to the listeners. We've got a past guest on coming back on the podcast. I'm not with Conk today.
No Conk here today.
No, just myself, William Boyd, and yourself. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Samuel Roberts. You may previously know me from the Dinner Pod. Dinner Party Pod.
Yes, he remembers it well.
Where I was defamed and trashed the entire time. So I'm back here to...
And how is the chlamydia in your eye?
It's all cleared.
It's all cleared up?
Yes, it was cleared many moons ago. Not sure why it was brought up, but... anyway,
not sure why it's being brought up this episode.
Yeah, well, I didn't bring it up. So
it is funny when you go on a podcast and it's the same thing over and over and over again. I went on the Sharehouse Pod and like I had to pretty much say, like, I don't want to talk about Radio Mike anymore. Like that's done. Like, and I kind of feel bad about it because he starts to feel bad.
Yeah, but it's the juice, you know.
It's the juice.
Everyone wants to talk about the juicy parts.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, how you been, Sam?
I'm good. Just working a little hard out and getting show ready.
Really quickly.
Yes.
We haven't caught up in however long. So long. Years. Ever since Dinner Party Pod. You walked out, I slammed the door shut and said, get fucked. I don't want to come. I don't want to see that guy until he comes back clean.
Yeah. I just put me two fingers straight up and out I went.
So I think we should have a little wine together, a little wine night.
That sounds nice. That sounds really nice.
But of course, we need some wine music.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Got.
Okay. Oh, this is nice.
Hello, Amy.
Oh, look at Amy Winehouse. Are you an Amy fan here?
Yeah, I do like a bit of Amy. A bit of Back to Black.
What's your favourite?
Back to Black.
Okay.
Or Valerie.
Oh, any other ones?
What's your
third favourite Amy Winehouse
this
song?
This is giving very much Smokey Joe Robinson in The Office.
When
Ryan's like, oh, God, Smokey Joe died. And they're like, name a song, you know. And they're like, name a second one.
Was it Ryan?
Yeah,
I thought it was Ed Helms' character.
No, it was Pam saying it to Ryan.
Is that when Ryan was keen on Pam, so Ryan's trying to impress her?
I don't think so. I think it was one of the later seasons. I think it was just like a cold open. But
right.
Classic, yeah.
Office is good.
We watched a lot of Office.
I'd never watched The Office until I lived with you in lockdown.
And now it's like...
And then we clocked it. We clocked the night.
We watched the whole thing. And now when we have like, say if we like catch up and have lunch or something at someone's house, we just like... an episode of The Office, and then sit there for 4 hours.
Yes. But we haven't seen each other in a year.
In years, decades.
So we need to have a wine. So we're trying a few wines today on the podcast.
Yes, which one have we got here?
Well, let's cheers first.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Very good.
Yeah.
This is a sparkling. She's dry.
Quite dry.
It is a sparkling brut.
Yes. What? Cocoa.
Coco. No, it's called Madame Coco.
Oh,
Madame Coco. From France. Do your breast France.
Once again, we're bringing up the Dinner Party Podcast. Where I was ridiculed for my French accent.
Well, come on. This is your redemption.
Well, of course, this is French.
With the Madame Coco.
Madame Coco makes us dry wine.
Oui, very good, Madame. You go to try the Coco Brut. It's the best.
You just brought that up because you were in France last year.
I was. We've talked about that a lot on the podcast. You wouldn't know because you're not a listener.
I have listened.
Yeah, what was the last thing you remember us talking about on this podcast?
You referenced my Fringe show 2 years ago.
Well, what did I reference?
You're just like telling everyone all the good shows that were coming up. You referenced mine and then
I gave you a plug.
Yeah, and then I tuned out.
Right. Wouldn't that have been at the end of the podcast?
Yeah.
Plugs normally. Oh, so you'd listen to the episode.
Oh, I listened to every episode up until that point.
Up until probably 13.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm probably not going to be in this anymore.
This episode, when it comes out, would probably be in the low 90s. So you've got...
I've got a lot to catch up
on. You've got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah.
Me and Connor have been working hard at this.
You have. You have. You've come a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually funny.
About 4 meters I can come now. Yeah.
Good
if
for you.
If you get your hand at the right angle, it can squirt. It can squirt far.
That's really nice for you.
Yeah, no worries.
I'm more about helping others come, but that's fine to you.
Oh, tell us about that. Come in your eye. We're back to the chlamydia. Sorry. Oh, it's distasteful. Goodness. Let's wash our mouths out.
Let's wash just like this wine, it's distasteful.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a dry, dry wine, Will.
It's not quenching my thirst at all.
No.
If anything, it's making my taste buds
cry.
Thirsty. Yeah, it's making them dry.
Dry and cry. Before we move on, though, I just would like to bring up the talent release form that you've given me.
Yes.
Because there is one line, and I'm glad you brought up, you know,
yep.
the dinner party pod where
I
was quite defamed.
Okay, well, let's... I know exactly what you're bringing up. So let's just have a conversation about the talent release form.
Yes.
This is a new initiative brought on by me and Connor.
For the best.
For the best. For the best, because you never know what's going to come up in an improvised podcast. And we do want to have a lot of comedians coming on in the future. So we thought it best. To be honest, we did copy it from another podcast that we went on, and we both had to sign one. And we were like, hey, probably best that we have one of those too.
Best you get one.
God knows we've needed it in the past. So
So I was given this before.
Yeah, I did a direct copy and paste and then added the things that we needed to address in terms of our own podcast and obviously changed everything that referenced someone else's production company into our production's company. Yeah.
So it all looks very profesh.
Yeah, and it's got mine and Connor's signature printed on it.
It does.
Can you tell which one's mine?
No. Oh, yes. There's a tiny W in that one.
Yeah, there's a W in one of them.
Yeah, but my goodness, what a couple of scribbles. No one's ever forging that. No, I would like to draw your attention to number 4 in the clauses, though.
Number 4 in the clause. Yes, yes. Please read it out.
I understand and agree that my likeness and work will not be used in any defamatory, offensive, or inappropriate context.
Okay. Yes.
If only we had this release form at the dinner party.
Well, that's in post, not in production. That's not in pre-production or production. That's in post-production. So we're not going to have you on the podcast and put it on the internet and say, oh, what a fuckwit. Look at this guy absolutely ridicule himself live on the podcast and make a fool out of everything he stands for. We're not going to do that.
Oh, good. Or like edit. Like sentences together.
Yeah, exactly. A bit like what Connor did to me 3 weeks ago. when he pieced together my introduction. So Connor was sick that day, and I did a 5-minute introduction to the podcast, as these listeners would already be aware, because we have some very loyal listeners. Let's name them. I know 3 of them at the moment. I know we have Tom Clooney from Summer's Camp.
Great guy.
I know we have a Joel Nankervis from
Ord
Summers Camp, who I volunteer with.
Yeah. We did one improv class together.
You did? You've met Joel. Yeah. So I met up with them. I'm only saying these 3 names specifically because they've all brought up this podcast to me within the last 48 hours of my life and said, hey, I'm listening to this. And they all individually said, your podcast is batshit crazy. I was like, yeah, it's fun. Well, thanks for listening. And the 3rd name is Eamon Wamsley, who's my boss.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he had some notes for me, which, you know, weren't welcomed, but were fair.
Okay.
At the same time. Yeah.
Didn't ask for them.
But nice I have taken them on board.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, an interesting conversation.
Yeah, there you go.
What do we think about Fleetwood Mac?
Love Fleetwood Mac.
Name your top 3 songs.
I would have to go with Dreams. Obviously.
Yeah, this one. It's good that we're playing it.
Yeah. Landslide's another classic, but then you've also got For You.
Hang on, hey, wait,
No More Crying. Songbird. That's what
It's called Songbird.
And the Songbird. I'm not going to sing on here. You're not paying me.
Yeah, that's right. We'll let Fleetwood Mac do it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. But
we're not paying them either, by the way.
This absolute banger. And it's just like it's harmonized the entire way through. The harmony doesn't change. It's called I Don't Want to Know. And it's so good.
Fleetwood Mac song.
Yeah, so good.
Shall we?
Yes, please. It's
what's it called?
I Don't Want to Know. And it's off their Rumours album. Essentially, I'm just obsessed with their Rumours album. It's so good.
It's one of the all-time greats. It's probably in my top 10 albums of all time.
Oh, easily. I remember I first went to uni and because back in the country where I grew up, I had to download music off LimeWire that would take hours. When I got to uni, it was like a faster broadband network and I could all of a sudden download everything a lot quicker, and I downloaded the Rumours album.
Oh, this is banger. Right? Bang!
I don't want to know what reasons why I love you.
I know this very well. I just didn't know the top.
Absolute banger.
So this is, the harmony doesn't change.
Just goes the whole way through.
Yeah. It is a banger, isn't it?
It is.
Fleetwood Mac. Would have to go your own way.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Ah, come on. So good. It's got to be one of the... They've got to be one of the best.
But, like, do you think... Because there's all those stories about them, like, infighting and, like, having sex with each other. And
yeah, well, that's... But you get that in sort of any co-ed band.
Yeah. Do you think that's what drives the music? Like, that is that what made it so interesting?
Well, apparently ABBA are all fucking each other.
Hmm.
Do you subscribe to that? Because that's a conspiracy to a certain extent.
Well, I think they were together. Like there was,
they were married, weren't they?
Married together. But then what is, are they saying? They all just like started swinging with each
other. Apparently, they were swinging. They were early day swingers.
Oh, that's nice. They revolutionized the whole area of like
they are iconic
backyard relationships.
They are iconic.
Yeah,
relationships.
Yeah. I don't really know how to explain it, but you know, like the dark crevices of relationships.
Yeah,
absolute bangers, ABBA, and universally. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're Australian and there's like a bigger popularity for ABBA people for ABBA fans in Australia.
Yes.
But sounds like a thick drop, didn't it? It's
filling up my wine.
I
bit of Madame Coco.
I'm currently in a ABBA tribute show, and it sells
out. Tell us
out.
About that.
It sells out ridiculously quick.
Yeah, it would.
Like people are just obsessed.
It would. Is this the one? It's done in on Chapel Street, in a big tent at the back of a.
No.
But it has like a very tall two flights of staircase. Hear it. It's at the back of a. Okay, so sorry, when this is it Mamma Mia?
There are many.
Is it Mamma Mia or is it ABBA?
This is ABBA.
Is it the one that our friend Sarah works for?
Which Sarah?
Sarah, who we were talking about earlier. You're at her house.
Oh, no, I'm not part of. Yes, I am part. She's in two. Okay. She's in two tributes.
Yeah, but it's. But there's one. Is it a Mamma Mia one? It's in like a pop up big tent. On Chapel Street, out the back of a, like, pub.
Oh. Maybe she's in... There's also other ones. There's like, heaps. My friend Rhea's also in one.
Okay.
Like, there's so many going on.
ABBA but, still gets it a lot.
Oh, and, like, people just, like, are like, oh, it's ABBA, I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about it.
Well, they just have some of the all-time greatest bangers.
Oh, so good.
Like, this is one of the most universally known. I was DJing for a bunch of 16-year-olds about 3 nights ago. I lost the crowd.
I'm so sorry. Why?
It was for the volunteer organisation that I'm with. Yes, I'm affiliated with. And we're sort of having an after party for our flagship program. I've got a great photo I'll show you right now. Describe what you see in this photo of me DJing at the decks.
So, it's a shirtless Will holding his nipples. No, it's not. It's the back of Will. It's the silhouette of Will with his arms up in the air, smoke, hazy smoke surrounding him, neon lights, and just a bunch of children going off.
It actually... I was pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
I was pretty
done
good.
Very well.
I started with like some of the all-time bangers. Sex on Fire, Mr. Brightside. Got them going. And you know what's amazing? Like, doesn't matter the demographic, doesn't matter what year it is, the party to always get, the song that can always get a party pumping is the Nutbush. I don't care who you are, you like the Nutbush.
Like, absolutely.
I've pulled a few muscles a few different times doing it at parties while drunk, going too hard.
But once again, it's the Australian culture that's created that.
Is it really?
Yeah. People outside of Australia don't do the Nutbush dance.
Is it an Australian song?
No. It's Tina Turner. It's an American song.
Oh, it's Tina Turner, is it?
Yeah.
Right.
But no one does the Nutbush dance outside of...
Really?
Yeah, outside of Australia.
That's wild. So that's Australian culture picking that up.
Yeah. We love it. We love a song with
the
dance.
Is that the same with the Macarena?
No, I think that was in the film.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, it's those two guys and then a heap of like gorgeous models.
Okay, so everyone picked the Macarena up from the film.
So I think that's a bit more like a Time Warp. But like you can play them at any party and everyone's gonna go nuts and do the hand motions. It's like it was like the TikTok before TikTok dances were invented.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
What are some other good ones?
I think one that tried to pick up but never really took off, but I love it, is the Last Ketchup song. I said, hey, I have it to the head, send me, no, I'm having it.
So you shake either hand over the top of the other hand.
Yeah.
And then do
and
then do thumbs up over
thumbs
the shoulders.
Thumbs up over the shoulders.
Ah, yeah. Right. I didn't know that was a thing. I know the ketchup song, but I don't know the dance.
What about Hot Potato?
Hot Potato, I know the sort of bang your two clenched fists together.
And
I know
Mashed Banana.
No, I didn't know that one.
Yeah.
Do you ever do Belly Flop on a Pizza?
Who?
You know, Belly Flop on a Pizza, Pizza, Pizza.
No.
Pepperoni on the Pizza, Pizza. No, it's like an Italian. Oh. Yeah.
Is it Italian?
What's the Greek one, the Zumba?
What, the, like, exercise?
No, no, it's or Zumba, maybe it's called. It's like the Greek one where you all, like, sort of link arms in a big circle and walk
dun,
around.
Dun, 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 dun,
and it speaks...
Zorbas? Dun, 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 dun,
and
speaks. Zorbas dance.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's what it is.
What about the, slide to the left. Slide to the right.
Crisscross! Crisscross! Or the Hoedown Throwdown by Miley Cyrus. The Hoedown Throwdown.
Did that have a dance that went with it?
Yeah, it was in the movie, in Miley Cyrus, the movie. Oh, Hannah Montana, sorry, the movie.
I was an adult. I never watched it, I'm so sorry.
Because you're 40.
65 next month.
Whoa, what are you doing for your 65th?
Buying a coffin.
You're calling it there.
Yeah, I've had
gonna
enough.
End it all.
I've had enough.
Gonna end it all on your 65th.
Yeah.
I've always thought, like... would you want to die on your death? Oh, sorry, would you want to die on your birthday?
No. No, I don't even work on my birthday. I have like a routine.
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah, because you want to rest. If you're old, you're like, this is it. I'm going to rest.
See ya. Like I have this like thing I do every... On my birthday every year, I get drunk the night before.
Okay.
And I don't go to work. And then I spend the rest of the day, I order lunch in...
Are you saying this is just on your birthday?
Just on my birthday. Like, this is specifically
so
every birthday.
Just on your birthday, you get drunk the night before.
Yeah, don't drink any other time of the year.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Having lived with you for a year, I know that to be true.
Yeah, absolutely. Do not drink once during lockdown.
And coincidentally, tomorrow is your birthday, which is why we're having wine
right?
night.
Yeah. Right? Cheers. Happy birthday to me. Oh, God. No, but on my birthday, I will have a bath and watch a movie.
Okay, right.
Always on my birthday. Always. That's my happiest little, like, moment. Little treat.
Yeah, okay. I'm always on a volunteer camp for my birthday.
You are.
I am.
Dealing with little young men.
Yeah, well, normally it's the day after. So, like, we do a 10-day camp, essentially. working really, really hard as volunteers, and then we do one day, a certain group of those volunteers go and sort of have like an after party. Not an after party, but more just like quiet beers at a different location. This year we had a pool. It was lovely.
Yeah.
And normally either that day or the day after, so we're waking up tired and a little bit hungover. That's my birthday normally.
That's when your
birthday is. And that's when it was today. This year. And I got told by a friend, Will, you're 25 today. And I said, yes. And they go, do you know as of right now, your brain is fully developed? And I had a panic attack.
I love that. Like, as if yesterday it was like, oh yeah, we're going to get smarter and harder. And then hit 25 and it was like, I'm done.
It's like
me in the bath. I'm out.
Yeah. It's pretty. But that's what I'm trying to get to is like when you're 85, having your birthday bath is at the moment you push the toaster in and you go, you know what? Here it is. I rest now. Like,
I just tie little cement slabs onto my earlobes.
Cement earrings. That's so gay
that
for you.
Would be
you.
A slave.
Would you cast them yourselves, or would you employ a young entrepreneur to make yourself some?
You know what? I would like to help local enterprises. You know, someone's out there making cement earrings.
Yep.
Let me know. In 20 years or so, I might need some.
Hmm.
Gorgeous.
While we're still on ABBA, I believe The Winner Takes It All is up and coming, which is one of the great ones. Don't forget about Dancing Queen, but it is one of the great ones.
It is. It really is.
That, and what's the one? Oh, hang on. Let's bang that one on. We'll put that on the... how do you spell that?
V-O-U.
Yep.
I mean, you lived in France.
Oh, yeah, got it. V-O-U-E-Z. Yeah, interesting.
Didn't you live in France? Shouldn't you speak French?
I holidayed to France. Voulez-vous? I had a few incidents at a bakery with one particular server that got very upset that I couldn't speak French. And I was like, I just want the chicken sandwich. And then I'm also ordering corner lunch as well. And vegetarian. And I don't know if you know this about the French. They don't. Too vegetarian. So I was like, can you make one without chicken? And it was like, you could see her mind kind of
a chicken fucking sandwich
bending,
without chicken.
Kind of bending in on itself. Like, I just want the salad and the pesto. Like, Zoe? No meat. Oh, salami. No meat. Ah, beef. No meat. And I'm trying to translate no, because I know she could understand meat, but not no. So I was like, vi meat. Like, and then it got to the stage where she gave me two chicken sandwiches. I picked a bunch off and then gave it to God.
Does he know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, okay. And he kind of got it. He was like, yeah, fair enough. Like, it's as good as it gets over here sometimes. Like, it was very hard with the language barrier.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. But anyway, going right back to ABBA.
Yes.
Going right back, we have a mutual friend that was doing an ABBA showcase. No, so an ABBA immersive experience. Or was it Mamma Mia? Was she doing a Mamma Mia one, Sarah?
She was doing...
About 2 years ago.
She was doing the show that I'm doing now.
Yeah, in a tent on Chapel Street.
Was she at the speakeasy?
Yeah, the speakeasy.
Is that a tent?
I would argue that's a tent. It's not a permanent structure.
Oh, okay, yes. I'm in that show. Thanks for playing. How many minutes are we in and I've just figured out? That second glass of dry wine.
Drink
really.
To that. Drink to fucking working that one out. So she was at the speakeasy. And you would know to get from the speakeasy up to what... I don't know if you still use them. There's change rooms up in the actual building of the speakeasy.
Yeah.
No, and you have to walk up two flights of stairs. You'd be familiar with those two flights of stairs up to like the top.
No, we don't do the show there anymore.
Oh.
So we do it at Lover on Chapel Street.
Right, so it moved.
Yeah.
It's left the speakeasy?
Yep, it's left the speakeasy. We did it at Lover on Chapel Street, so it's just up the road.
Right.
But we're also doing it in Adelaide, so that's really fun.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, yes. So Sarah is also in that. But she's also in another one. She just loves ABBA.
Ooh, loves ABBA.
Just loves ABBA.
Do the songs cross over or do they use different songs?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't
seen
her.
But is she in a Mamma Mia one or is she in an
ABBA? It's more of like an ABBA. Like they play...
ABBA tribute.
Yeah, it's more ABBA tribute.
Is your Mamma Mia?
It's a bit of a mix. It's more just appreciation of ABBA music. We play ourselves.
A bit of a mix between Mamma Mia and ABBA. Yeah. Mamma Mia being all ABBA songs and ABBA just being a tribute to ABBA.
But it's like, it's more of a tribute to the songs of ABBA, and we're not playing characters. We play like we're just ourselves.
But you're wearing fang-dangled costumes, as I know, because when I ran into Sarah, she was wearing a fang-dangled costume.
We may get into a little bit of a groove with some fancy outfits.
Some frills.
Yeah.
I know there's frills.
But we do play ourselves. I am lucky that I have the same name as someone from the musical.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, interesting.
So I can kind of play type.
There's a Sarah, isn't there? No, there's not a Sarah.
Sophie.
Sophie. Fuck. Yeah, that's hard. Not that hard, actually, now that I think of it.
Yeah, they are two very different names.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah. So, anyway, my story about this, and I've never caught up with Sarah. So sorry to interrupt. We have 4 seconds until Voulez-vous comes on. This is just...
Banger.
Banger. Aha! Yeah, awesome. So, I ran into Sarah. Trying to think how I word this story to not get anyone in trouble. So I was at the speakeasy.
Yes.
With a group of friends.
The sounds of expectations hanging in the air.
I was at the speakeasy.
Yeah.
With a group of friends. Large group of friends. And it was a party. We're having a party. We're celebrating a birthday.
Fun.
And the whole function was simply for this one person, blah, blah, blah. We were all friends. And basically, there's a smoke. Have you ever been to the speakeasy? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've only been down the back, which is apparently a tent, but I didn't realize it was a tent.
Okay, right. So have you seen those two flights of staircase that I'm like talking about? Okay, and the top is like a smoking area.
Right.
So I'm in the top function center at this party, and I'm having a cigarette on the balcony at the top.
Used to love a cigarette.
And there was a whole lot of commotion going down in this tent downstairs, right? Didn't know what was happening. And at some stage, a bunch of people walked down in, like, these fang-dangled costumes. And I sort of catch a glimpse of the back of one. And it's Sarah, our mutual friend. And I was like, oh, Sarah! And I yell out. She looks up after, like, she's walked down the two flights at this stage. She's about to go on stage and sing, probably this song, and then looks up, and I'm like, hey, it's me! So she's like, what the fuck is going on? Because there were already questions being posed to these performers about what this party was upstairs.
Right, yeah.
And so she's like, is Will part of this all of a sudden? And then, so she then heads in, does her number. And then, obviously, in her mind, she's going to come back and meet me. I think, oh, she's obviously busy. She's at work. Like, she's a performer. I know that. She's going to be working. Like, yeah. I might run into her later.
She's on the clock.
But she's not coming back to find me. Half an hour later, I have a mate at this birthday party. Looks at me and goes, hey, I'm going to go into this, like, random closet room out the back near the smoking area and do a line. And I was like, oh, all good. I don't do coke. Like, so sorry. But thank you. But I can come for moral support if you want. Like, yeah, no worries. So then I'm like shepherded into this room. There's like 6 people standing in this room. And I'm just standing there having chats to them while they all punch lines. And I didn't realize, but that's the changing room for the Mamma Mia experience downstairs. And then while that's happening, Sarah walks into the room.
Oh my god.
And she knows instantly what we're doing in there and thinks I'm part of it. But I'm just having chats to my friends.
Yeah.
And so I'm having this awkward, hey, how are you? While everyone's going, oh, we're going to leave. Like, we're gone. And I was like, yeah, I'll stay. And then, why are you staying, Will? I was like, oh, I know her. You know her? Oh, okay. It was a very...
It was an arc.
It was an interesting moment in my life. Anyway, that's the story that I have about this moment of your experience.
Yeah, well, no.
Have I told you that before?
Yeah.
You did very well that whole story, not knowing, pretending like you didn't know.
I think I've had segments of the story. Clearly, the last time you were telling me this story, we were also playing ABBA and we kept getting distracted.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I feel like I didn't quite get to the end of it. Right. I definitely knew you saw Sarah.
Yeah. But you hadn't heard the change room part of the story.
Yeah. Was she like Get Out?
So she walked in with the other three performers. Because there's four of you. There's four of you.
Yeah.
So all four of them were... Hang on. What's that? Tell us the tea.
No, there's only three at the moment in Melbourne. But I think we've just signed on four people.
Do you need another one that's a bit tone deaf? He says, pulling a hair behind his ear.
We need someone to press play on the computer. So if that's what you're up for.
Yeah, tech.
Yeah.
You want me to... Well, I don't do that very well.
You're hired.
Hi!
Hey!
interesting. So all four of them walked in, and I think there was one guy, and he was like, what the fuck are you doing here? This is our change room. And so the boys I were with were like, all good, mate. We're just leaving. Sorry, we didn't know that. And I was like, oh, hi! And so it was just like, that guy was trying to push me out still, and Sarah's saying to him, no, I know him. And then that guy's going, but clearly he's in here for
doing
other
bad things.
Yeah, doing bad things. Can we not have him in here? And then I'm going, no, not saying, no, I'm not the one that's doing that, because I don't want to incriminate my other mates.
Yeah.
I just want to chat to my mutual friend.
I feel like this is more of a detriment on my part, but I also feel like some people take these roles. Like, this is very small, like, theatre experience. This isn't like... We're not doing national tours or anything like that. We're on Chapel Street.
I'll be honest. Like, I've worked for this company.
Yeah.
The performers are very, very good. They work very, very hard. But it's not... Like, you're performing, but you're not, like, doing a full-blown show. Like...
We are at the moment.
Okay.
It is quite busy. But I think I'm just, like, I haven't made it enough to expect too much. So if I walk
in... Sorry, what I mean by full blonde is you're not geeing yourself up in the change room for an hour beforehand doing makeup, going like, this is the night, like,
no,
Beyonce's
usually,
in the crowd. You know what I mean? Like,
usually the change room is... Well, we've had a kitchen.
We've had a kitchen.
We've had a laundry washroom. We've had a stock room.
We've had a stock room. That's the one I shared with you.
What else have we had? We just had no room, and then we were just getting changed behind, like, this sort of, like, leafy wall.
Okay.
And then found out there was a camera pointing right at us.
Hot.
So that was really fun. What else have we had? We had... when we went to... we were at the Motley Bauhaus for one of the shows that we did there, and we had this gorgeous change room. It was so perfect for us.
Yep.
But they rent those spaces out, and our company wouldn't pay for it. So we end up having to, like, get changed in this, like, weird little, like, midsection foyer sort of type spot.
I know the room.
But I'm just, like, I find it... I just find that I just take things so unseriously. So if I walked in and there was just a heap of people, like, doing cocaine in my change room while I was out performing, I'd probably just be like... Save some for me, no.
Well, no, don't do it all.
Like, I would just be like, all right, finish that line and get out.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I don't think I would be pressing too hard.
But you'd almost be expecting it walking into the room.
I'd be like, oh, this is a shared space. I didn't realise you had booked it from 7:30 to 7:45.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'll leave and come back. I'll pause the show I'm doing.
Sorry, I thought I had booked out these mods. Yeah, do I need to check the schedule?
Yeah.
You must have had it for you. Know.
We are about to run out to do Mamma Mia, but I'm happy to hold that if you need the space.
Yeah. I'll just tell the 80 people in the audience.
Happy
to
do a quick change if need be in this room in 10 minutes' time.
So funny. Well, good for them. Yeah. I really like working for this company because it's, like, just really fun things to do, you know? Like, I like to sing. I like to put on a show. Got into lots of hosting gigs through them, so that's really fun.
Yep.
You ever hosted something?
I have.
A podcast.
A few times. I have hosted a podcast. I've hosted a few things. I did a gig that I was wildly unprepared for. With wildly loud foldbacks. I just remember that being the memory. Very loud foldbacks on stage and couldn't even hear myself think. So very
hard. You don't even need foldbacks for a hosting gig, really.
You don't need foldbacks. Well, I was emceeing a lineup of bands.
Right.
So they needed foldbacks.
Yeah.
But they didn't fucking turn them down when it was time for me. It would have been polite. But I was also tech that day because the tech got sick. Okay, so this is a nightmare story and I feel like it needs justice to be told. So I got given this gig through a friend. It was going to be myself and Conk hosting this gig. It was in an outdoor theatre space, and we were going to do some sketches in between the bands to break up the music with some comedy. 2 days before Connor got COVID and was out. Do you know what I'm talking about
now?
Yeah.
I've just remembered.
Yeah, and I had 48 hours to prepare. I can't do a sketch by myself. At that stage, I'm not a clown. I'm not an improviser. I'm not a solo performer.
You're part of a duo.
I was part of a duo at that stage.
Yeah, for planned sketch comedy.
Exactly. And so I am suddenly writing myself some terrible one-liners to tell to a crowd of people that I don't know what the demo... Like, I don't know what the demo is. So I don't know who the bands are. I don't know the place I'm performing. I just know it's in a park somewhere in an amphitheater. And I rock up and I have a terrible set prepared for the day's work I'm about to do.
Yeah.
And the tech was sick. The tech set up the PA but then left. So I was doing the PA for the bands as well as emceeing in between for a full 8.5 hours.
Oh, so you're the reason the foldback wasn't turned down.
Well, I didn't know how. I just knew how to plug things in and turn out the bars.
Yeah.
The foldback was connected to a different board, which I found out later in the day when I was packing it all down. A different board.
Oh, you even had to pack it all down?
Yeah, because the tech didn't rock up. I had to pack it down and then just put it into this truck and then leave it. So, the foldback was connected to a different... But, look, I could have traced the cable back and worked it out, I will admit. But I did not have time between freaking out about what the hell I'm doing and what I need to do to make the bands be able to play.
Yeah.
So that was my day.
Yeah, that's... I do love hosting
that. And I got paid good money for it, and stupidly I shared it half with Connor. I split it 50-50 with Connor.
Right, because he had COVID.
Yeah, because he had COVID, and we'd done a fair bit of prep in terms of, like, working out what we were going to do for this day. And I was like, I don't want that to go all unnoticed. And there were moments throughout the day where there was no MC, no bands. So we were just playing music, and Connor made a playlist. So he had done some work at home making the playlist. So I thought he deserved some money.
Yeah.
Looking back at it, a 50-50 split probably wasn't fair. I love him.
So rough.
I love him. I was very generous that day. I was very generous.
I could just
see
you absolutely exhausted after a massive day of doing two people's jobs and giving half of your money away to someone at home.
Who made a playlist. Who he does in his... He would have done it anyway in his bed. Like, he would have...
Like, he already had that playlist.
It's a hobby for him. Like, yeah. No, that was my day. Like, so I've emceed that. I've emceed... That was a terrible MC job, though, I did. I emceed... I've done a bit of MC gig at my work. I've done... I prepared for a wedding in which... I found out a week before that the celebrant was going to MC the wedding for free, and she told the bride and groom that. So they said, oh, we're just going to go with the celebrant then, even though I'd done work for it. So they kind of...
Are they going to pay you?
Yeah. So that was like, it would be cheaper if we just get the celebrant to do the MC for free.
Are these your friends?
Friends are friends are friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I have MC'd.
My family were going to be at the wedding.
Yeah. I have MC'd probably 5 weddings.
Yeah, right.
I don't get paid though.
You don't get paid to
MC?
I don't
buy them a wedding gift.
Whose wedding have you MC'd?
Hang on,
before you launch in, shall we open the Shiraz?
Sure.
We have finished the sparkling. We're at 40 minutes of the episode, but yeah. I feel like this is going to be an hour episode. Perfect. That's fair.
Yeah.
Do you want to open the 2020?
How many minutes are we in?
We're 40 minutes and 16 seconds.
So does that went quick?
It's done very well.
Just a little heads up, we're pouring it straight into the glass we just drank white wine out of.
That's fine.
As a context, we're drinking $10 to $12 bottles. Oh, that sounded really nice. The ASMR for you.
Oh. I have no idea if the Shiraz is going to be disgusting or somewhat nice. 2022, famously a shit year for red wine.
Oh. Wait.
All right.
We're going to try this together. Otherwise, it's just Will's response and me copying it.
Okay, sorry. We're going to cheers it. We're going to have to cheers it.
Yeah. That was nice.
Very nice.
Holy moly.
That is one of the worst wines I've ever tasted in my fucking life.
I didn't expect it to be that bad.
Shout out to Outback Jack.
Yeah, good on him.
The Burton Vineyard, this is. I don't know where this is from. Our Outback Jack Shiraz is full-bodied. Woo! You can say that twice. Full of something. With well-defined flavours of shit and vomit.
Very definitive. Very definitive.
Of plum, red currant, and mocha. Do you taste any mocha? I don't taste any mocha in that.
I mean,
leading to a long, rich finish. Yeah, long indeed and very rich.
Oh, yeah, lasting.
This Shiraz is well suited to roast meat or rich pasta dishes.
Or stripping.
Or a funny improvised podcast.
Yeah. Does it have anything about stripping paint on there?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I feel like you could really give someone an illness by drinking too much of that.
Top me up.
But we will finish the bottle, though.
We will.
Before the podcast finishes, the bottle will be empty. That's,
okay, sounds good. It really
just
does.
Making sure that promise is finished.
Yeah. Weddings that I've emceed. So I've done quite recently. So I did my friend's show. And then the week after, I went and emceed my gorgeous friend George's wedding. But to me, I don't know. Like, I find it quite a privilege if someone says, like, we want you to be a part of our wedding.
Yes, agreed.
Okay? And I, like, it's obviously not, like, I'm not in all the photos like they are with, like, a bridesmaid or a groomsman.
Okay.
You know, but, like, I still really get the joy out of, like, they think that I'm, you know,
charismatic enough.
Yeah, and like
to keep the mood up.
And people would enjoy sort of like, yeah, listening to me sort of, you know, introduce everyone and stuff.
Do you go for jokes?
Yeah. So a little context. So I grew up with Georgia.
Yep.
And essentially like our mums and dads were best friends.
Yep.
So if like mum and dad weren't home and I had like tennis training or whatever, I would go to their house and just like their mum would like give me afternoon tea or whatever, and then would go to tennis training. And this one day, it was like middle of summer.
Yeah.
And it was just this rare freezing cold day in the middle of summer.
Right.
And we got home from school and I went to George's house because we had tennis training, and Jack had made soup.
Right.
Like in the middle of summer.
Okay.
Just on this one cold day, was like, fuck it, let's make some veggie soup. It was so good. So good. And I was like, you know, like it just like, because it had been cold all day, because I went to school in a shirt and like shorts. because it was like summer. But then all of a sudden I was like freezing cold all day. So I just warmed myself. So at the wedding, I had to introduce Greg and Jack to say their speech. And I said, I said these are two of my favorite people. One makes an amazing soup and the other one is just Greg Martin. And then they like came on out. But I have a really good relationship with them. Like, everyone that asks me to do their wedding, I have a really good relationship with. So it's like, it's sort of like you can say an in joke and everyone will love it because they kind of, like, everyone knows everyone.
I love that in friends. Like, I have, okay, it's not needed to say, but like, it's not a famous joke, but it's a well-known joke to go. If you have two best friends, one of which is very, very openly gay, which I have in my like volunteer group, is if we're ever introducing them, it's like, this is so-and-so and so-and-so. One loves sucking dick and the other one is the straight person. Like, good joke.
Sounds a bit hate crime, but
okay. Sounds a bit hate crime.
I would find it funnier if you said, like, say you and I were the best man at Kong's wedding.
Yes.
And so someone was introducing us.
To be honest, really quickly, when Kong gets married, I don't think I'm in the groomsmen. I don't think I'm in the party. I think I'm celebrant. And that's because
you're
going
to do 6 months his wife, worth of TAFE to be the celebrant.
I would happily do it because I think I'd be a good celebrant just in terms of just being a celebrant. Yeah. So I would do it to just make it a job afterwards. So I'd happily do the 6 months TAFE, become a celebrant. I'd marry Conk and then I'd make a job out of it.
Do you know you also have to, in order to pass the course, you have to be a celebrant at funerals to pass the course. You have to do placement
home. You have to be an intern at someone's funeral. That's rough as fuck for whoever's burying their loved one.
Because I've considered this so much because I'm like, it's just theatre. Really.
Yeah, it's just theatre. That's all it is.
You're like putting on a show. Not putting on a show. Like, not that you're the focus, but you're like, you're like the ensemble member of that show.
100%.
And so I've been considering it and I've been talking to a few people and they were like, this one girl was like, my mum is a celebrant and she said that the funeral, like, part of the course was just so rough. Like, she'll never do a funeral.
Yeah.
But to get the course done.
I would like to do a funeral for a friend, though. Surely, because I know, do you have to legally be a funeral celebrant to be the MC of a funeral? Because I asked this because I went to a funeral 2 years ago for a friend and another friend MC'd it and he is a legalized celebrant. But I'm not sure if he only got that because he was legalized. I know he's very close to the family.
I feel like the same reason why you have to be a celebrant for a wedding, same for a funeral, is to sign the death certificate. I could be wrong.
Right.
But I feel like that's maybe why they're into it.
Okay, right.
There's probably some sort of legality. Because I think...
It is wrong to be listening to Chikatita while we... Hang on. Wait.
Oh, God, I'm nervous. You're going to put on something morbid.
I'll work out something. Anyway, talk about the death certificate.
Well, I don't really know, but I just assume that's why a celebrant's required to do both, because a celebrant is like the justice of the peace. You know, they can sign your passport, they can do all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
They can certify documents. So I assume that's probably why there'd have to be some sort of like document to sign to say they have been, they're dead. They're gone. They're buried.
So, because you do get a death certificate. Who gets it?
I suppose your next of kin.
Why do you need one? Is it to give to, like, your electricity supplier so you can stop
getting... Yeah, I think it's to prove to certain people that they're not around anymore.
Okay.
You know, like debt collectors and all that. Life insurance, another big one.
Life insurance.
Yeah. They would, I dare say.
Do you have life insurance?
What would they pay out?
I don't know.
Like my at this point in time, like I'm a very happy man.
You have do you only need life insurance if you have kids or family or in debt?
I think they pay out life insurance for the amount of life lost. So if you're earning like $300,000 a year,
yeah,
and you all of a sudden die, they're probably going to pay it. Like there'll be a, they would have, someone would have life insurance and they would pay out like enough money for the next few years so your wife doesn't have to like, you know, go through hard times.
Right. She still gets that money, yeah, even though you're not there.
Yeah. So number one, if I die, who's getting my money? I'm a single man.
Your ABBA performances aren't getting you too much cash.
My assets include a car that doesn't work, a laptop that's 10 years old.
So true.
And a new fridge. I got a new fridge.
Recently?
When I moved into the house.
Oh, I was going to say, because you bought a new fridge when you moved in. So you're saying you got an even newer fridge?
No.
What the fuck happened to the old fridge? I'll have that.
It's still new. It's only 2 years old.
Ah, that's an old fridge.
No, it's not.
Oh, by 2024 standards, absolutely an old fridge. Have you caught up with society recently? That's an old fridge. Anything over 12 months is old.
That's ridiculous.
My 2007 Holden Commodore is considered ancient to a mechanic.
My 1.5-year-old nephew is old. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, not for people. Anything other. That's why babies don't have life insurance, yeah, dickhead.
Like, come on, Sonny, get a grip. You're 1.5 now.
Get it together, brother. Yeah. Where's your job?
Apply for your pension.
Yeah, where's your $300,000 job? That would be a good way. Sorry, this is such a morbid joke. But that'd be a good way to make money. Have a kid, somehow get them into a $300,000 job, kill them, and then have them for life insurance so you can get the payouts.
Yeah. All right, well, good luck with that.
I'm not going to pitch that to my partner, but
let me just write down the date and time to let the police
don't know. Not on the contract, not on the talent release form. We need that to be unscribbled on.
I'm surprised my lawyer isn't here. I called him an hour ago.
Can I judge your... I want to judge your signature.
Oh, God, please don't.
Before I do, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
We've had a bottle and a half of wine. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm a bit pissed.
Yeah, I'm a bit pissed.
Do you know what? I'm pissed enough that this is actually tasting better.
I'm not too mad about it. Okay, Samuel Roberts signed on this date. Ooh, good signature.
You like it?
Yeah, can I give you... So I have three signatures. Actually, I'll only give you two of the three, though. Because one of them is very niche, and I'll never need to publicly say what it's for.
Why do you have multiple?
Because for the volunteer camp I do this year, I got... So, okay, since I do a volunteer camp, I've talked about 4 or 5 times in this podcast already. We all have very specific names on this camp we do. And I got asked by the participants of this camp to sign things. Because the group of volunteers I'm a part of are like very on show, it's very theatrical, and they normally take a liking to one of these volunteers throughout the camp. And
isn't
this,
your slushy name really bad?
It's COVID. My name on this camp is COVID. It used to be Pandemic. And now it's COVID.
I thought it was something.
And it's been changed to COVID since COVID came. So I'll do all three. I'll do my COVID signature because I've never been asked for a COVID signature until this year because I was like the favorite volunteer of this camp.
Oh.
Yeah, it was quite endearing. So I'll do my stage name, my legal signature, and my COVID one. So my legal one, which I'll sign, like if I'm doing Medicare, this is what I'd sign out. Hang on, I'm just going to cue a song. Cued. Okay, so this is my COVID. This is a loose podcast. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm having fun.
So this is my COVID one. Describe what you see. It's an audio medium.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Forgot what I was on. He wrote a C, and then next to it wrote a round circle and then coloured it in and then put little spikes on it. So I'm guessing that's the COVID enzyme or protein. I don't know.
So that's like the COVID, like...
Okay, what's the cell. So then he writes vid, but what's the squiggle at the end?
It's just like a flare.
And I'm the gay one?
Yeah. So that's my COVID signature. My legal signature is this.
All right. I don't even... That was this.
So that's...
What are I'm, the dots? Hang on. What's with the confetti at the end of your...
The dots are fun. The dots are a bit of fun. That is so ridiculous. Describe what you see.
It says deliver.
It doesn't say deliver. It's a W.
That says deliver.
It's a W. Look at it. Swish around.
Look at it. Tell me it doesn't say deliver.
That does not say deliver. You're drunk.
D L V.
Yeah, because how you spell deliver is D L R.
D L V R is what you've written there.
It's... this is what it was initially. So when I first came up with this signature in grade 5, it was this. Does that make sense now? How it's...
yeah.
Can you see how it's like slowly transformed
into from illiteracy?
From 6 years old to 2025.
I like that. Sorry, one.
To 25 years old.
But you don't have the... you, the C is lost.
My legal... okay, so my legal name... I don't think I've ever actually said it on the podcast. My legal name is...
I think Connor has.
Has he?
Yeah, Connor kept calling you the first couple of episodes. Yeah.
My legal name is William Crook. My last name's Crook legally. William Boyd is the professional name. All my mates on this camp I keep talking about is Crookie. Everyone calls me Crookie.
Crookie COVID.
Crookie COVID. That's why I got pandemic initially, because it's like Crook, sick, pandemic. Yeah. And then pandemic went to COVID. So that's why it's COVID. Which is, we should talk about that as well. You, like, I remember vividly you having, like, a little, like, a very little argument that was innocent to someone once at, like, a comedy festival artist room. Because you were like, oh, I'm friends with Will Crook. And you're like, and they're like, who? You're like, I'm friends with Will Crook.
Yeah.
Who? Will Crook. Like, oh, I don't know Will Crook. And you're like... yes, you do. I've seen you with him. It's like, I don't know, Will Crook. I'm friends with him. You're friends with him. I've seen you. You've done this. You've done that. He did this show, and then you named one of my shows. And they're like, oh, you mean William Boyd? It's like, oh, yes. No, sorry. Yes. No, I'm friends with William Boyd. And like, you backtracking immediately.
Do you know, my mum used to always do this. She would talk about her friends by their maiden name.
Oh, you are.
And I would be so confused. But now I do that, now that I'm an adult.
Did your mum take your dad's last name?
Yeah. Would've heard... that's like a very custom thing. But I think I now do it.
Well, my mum didn't.
Never did?
Never did. Because she would have been Karen Crook.
So she was like, I don't want it.
And I'll also subject like...
my kids to it.
And also... well, my full name is William Lyth Boyd Crook, so I just really cut off the end. So
and
I was
always worked for his laptop, everybody,
and my social security number. when I initially made a stage name was William L. Boyd,
yeah,
and now it's just William Boyd because I don't need the L. Like, if you look on the poster behind me, it still has L. Boyd.
It still has the L.
That's right. Like, we'll get a yellow. It looks a little bit disgusting, doesn't it?
I think it makes you seem more regal than you actually are.
Regal?
Yeah, you seem much more regal than the sack of shit you actually are, Will.
Thank you. I do appreciate that.
But yes, I'm definitely, terrible for naming people after they've changed their name after a wedding.
Really?
So bad at it.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. There's like one of the most gorgeous people from home got married, like, I would say at least like 10, 11 years ago.
Okay.
And she's still, so she's now Christy Summerhayes. She's always just been Christy Jolly.
Christy Jolly.
Like, she's still in my phone.
She Christy lost Jolly. The last name Jolly?
Right? How good is
that? Fuck off. Yeah. Why would you ever get rid of Jolly?
Yeah. They're gorgeous people too. So it's like, I love that their last name's Jolly, because just like, she's just the happiest person to see.
That's so, that's a look, I think,
that's why your last name's Crook. Because you're a crook cunt. Fitting.
So anyway, really
quickly, that's why my last name is Slay. Sammy Slay.
Sammy Slay. I'm about to flip this piece of paper over so you can do your signatures. But I'm about to do my William Boyd signature. Yeah.
The one that's going to be on your Wikipedia page once you've made it. Oh, sweetie.
I think that looks good.
Why?
Because they overlap. So I write William and I write Boyd, but with some squiggle calligraphy in there, but I overlap.
Calligraphy is a strong word. You have scribbled. That is trash.
Hang on, can I have another go at it? Give me one more go.
Okay, do your best. Okay, but you didn't overlap them that time.
Yeah, they are a little bit overlapped, but that's probably the way I do it normally.
Okay, it is better.
It is better.
It is better.
But you can write, you can see the William and you can see the Boyd, can't you?
I have the same one because my stage name is my
legal name.
Legal name.
Well, to be honest, it's not, well, it is your legal name, but I know you as Sam.
Yeah, so my preferred name.
Can I ask why you went to Samuel?
So, because we haven't made it, you know, big break for a reason, everybody.
Yes.
You kind of live two separate lives. When you live in this world of, like, half arts, half trying to live.
You do.
So, the world that I try to live in is Sam.
Yep.
This world that I'm creating to build this little name for myself, I thought needed to sit separately, and I needed people to recognize me separately so that it's easier for my life to sort of dictate which one's going where. Yeah. So that's why I use Samuel, because no one in my real life ever called me Samuel. My parents never even called me Samuel.
Yeah, right.
My sisters are Ashley and Megan. Okay. And if they were in trouble, they got Ashley and Megan. Otherwise, rest of the time, it's Megan Ash.
Yeah, right.
But I was always, if I was yelled at, it was always Sam.
Sam.
Yeah. It was always Sam. It wasn't ever like,
Samuel!
Samuel!
What are you doing?
Yeah. So it just, I never really had, in my like mindset, Sam has always been my real name.
Okay.
So choosing to use Samuel as my stage name, as also my legal name,
was like kind of makes sense. It was a choice.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, it sits differently from my real life. Where, like, if I'm just going to work at a job that I don't really care for, they can call me Sam, I can care less. But if someone's emailing me being like,
hello,
hi,
Samuel.
We would like to use your, you know, we'd like to book your show, you know, and program our show, your show into our venue.
I get that. Like, I absolutely understand that.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Like, no one ever outside of, look, to be honest, no one ever outside of my audience will ever call me William.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? People in theatre, people in the scene will call me Will, because they know me as Will. But they will still call me, they'll call me Will Boyd. Like, very few of them know it's Will Crook.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've told you this, overseas, we were having like a bit of a heart-to-heart while drunk. A bit like we are now.
It's quite nice, isn't it?
It's quite. Do you want to top up on that?
I was just going to say, top me up with that shit fucking wine.
Okay.
Oh, just reaching over. I'm trying to make it visual for the listeners. Just reaching over the expensive Rodecaster.
Sorry, that was a very generous pour.
That was delicious. That's great. Thank you.
Very generous pour, sorry.
Shall I sign my name?
Yeah, please sign it while I quickly tell a story. So when I was in Europe, we were having a heart to heart over a few drinks, and I sort of said to people like, oh, well, you know, like when I pick my stage name, and not really thinking about that some of them might not. So, okay, Sam's done two takes at it and already doesn't like it. So he's doing a third take right now. You happy with it? No, you're doing your fourth take of the signature.
So,
well, hang on real quick. Yeah, let me finish the story. So I was in Europe and I was pretty much saying like, oh, well, you know, like when I chose a stage name, like it was a big deal. And all of them were like, sorry? Stage name? And I was like, oh, well, William Boyd, like Boyd is one of my middle names. Like it's not my legal last name. It's Crook. And they were all shocked. Like, and I've only had it once before that in theatre where I had Mel O'Brien, who has been a guest in the podcast before. She,
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Do you have a button?
We do. She was, her cousin is very good friends with me through his volunteer program.
Yes.
And he calls me Cookie. So obviously she was having a Christmas lunch with him, her cousin, and they obviously would have probably had a similar conversation as to you have had in an artist bar about, oh, I know William Boyd. Well, I know William Crook. Who the fuck do you know? And she walked out of the artist bar at Melbourne Fringe and said, "Well, Crook, I know who you really are."
Oh,
and like had a go at me. "You've been lying to all of us." Like while she was hammered. It was a beautiful moment. Like I loved it very much. So that was the only moment previous to this. But then when I was in France, I let them all know I was Will Crook. And then weirdly, about 2 weeks later, I noticed they were all calling me Will Crook if they wanted my attention. Like, I'm pretty good at, like, if someone goes, "Hey, William Boyd," or, "Oh, well, we've got Connor Conk Darryl, we've got, you know, Melissa McGlenzie, John Walpole, Will Boyd," that starts saying, "Oh, we've got Will Crook." And, like, for some reason, because it was my legal name, it all locked into their memory that that's not my name.
Yeah.
Like, my name is my legal name. To the point where, like, John Walpole, who's also been a guest of the podcast, beautiful man, I love him very much, he started calling Will Crook. And then I noticed, like, another guy who's, like, John's comedy partner, Jeremiah Detto, Jero rocked up, and then Jero all of a sudden knew my legal name. Like,
to the just point, spread like
yeah,
wildfire.
It spread like wildfire. Like, "Oh, have you heard this rumor about Will? Like, William Boyd is not actually his legal name." And they all started calling
like
me.
Like saucy gossip.
Yeah. Is this really how boring, how ol- how boring, how holl- ow.
Oh, out that, Jack. Got you good, Del. Got you real good.
That red wine's so potent, bro. Like, that's how boring our European holiday is, that we're focusing on someone's stage name.
That's
anyway.
Funny. I also, there was another reason why I did Samuel Roberts instead of Sam.
Yep.
There's a Canadian singer named Sam Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. There's a famous author called William Boyd.
Don't you have one of his books?
I do have one of his books. Yeah. It's my bookshelf. Okay. Yeah, interesting. I've never read it. I think I should, though, probably.
I'm hoping one day to read a book.
Would you like to borrow it? Would you? You have 5 days in a rural country town coming up, so would you like something to do?
That would be very nice. I do have to disclaim I stole that joke from Lennon Woodley, the TV show. Or one of their things. I'm hoping one day to read a book.
Lennon and Woodley were always better on stage.
No, their TV show is so funny.
It is funny, but they were always better on stage.
But the TV show is so funny.
It is very funny. The TV show is very funny, but they were always better on stage. And I stay the same for Rowan Atkinson. Mr. Bean, very funny. I grew up with him. But as soon as I realized what he did on stage, it ruined Mr. Yeah. Bean for me. Because his capability unhinged as Rowan Atkinson is so much better.
I think it's also that we get that appreciation of, like, live theatre too. Because we live and breathe it.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah. The fact that they just did, like, a non-stop, like, all at once. No cuts.
Killed it.
And just smashed out, like,
you know,
10-minute bit.
Yeah, and, like, I've always held those boys as, like, the gods of Australian absurdism.
Oh.
Or alternative comedy is probably the best word to use. Because they aren't really sketch, they're alternative. And they're the gods of it. Like, they're the dads, you know what I mean? Like, anyone that comes before, anyone that comes after them, they're the dads, if that makes sense. So, me and Connor did our first ever show, Chumsville, before it opened.
Banger. Absolute banger.
Thank you, I appreciate that. 2 days before that show opened, Do you? How much do you remember from that show?
Which character? Roberta? How we do it?
I want to talk about the Triple J guy. I forgot his name we had in the show. I think his name... He was the loop pedal guy. Remember the loop pedal guy?
Oh, Connor's...
Connor's the final character.
Yeah. I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name. That's killing
me. I saw that show a lot.
I did too.
You were in it.
I was in it.
I wasn't in it, and I wasn't the tech. I've teched your shows before.
Yeah, thank you for coming so much. It's very supportive of you.
That's what I'm good at.
Yeah, you're very good at support. That's what I'm good at.
Coming so much.
So, 3 days before it opened,
yes,
I went to see Lana Woodley at the Comedy Theatre. Packed audience.
Yeah, of course.
And they did a bit where Frank Woodley's in the audience... And the whole bit is like, I've left the show. I fucking hate Colin Lane. He's a dickhead. I'm not working with him unless he's off the stage. Kind of flipped the script to what Leno always did to Frank, if that makes sense. So Leno's in, so Frank's in the audience. And Colin is on stage trying to play this song that Frank was meant to play on the guitar. And there's a loop pedal involved, and they do the exact same loop pedal joke that me and Connor did in our show 3 days before it opened. And there was this bittersweet moment of like, fuck, everyone's going to think we copied it.
Oh my God.
And also, but also, the gods of comedy, in my opinion,
are doing the same gag.
Think this is funny enough to put in their show. And we think it's funny enough to put in our show. So it's kind of a sign of endearment.
Yeah.
But it was very... It was more heartbreaking than it was heartwarming of like, fuck, everyone who comes to this show is going to think that we copied them in our show when they come to ours. Because that was their closing night. And they closed 3 days before we open, which is the perfect amount of time to add a funny little sketch at the end of your show about a loop pedal. Anyway, it was very ironic.
I just realized, because I was like thinking, am I such a big fan of you two that I like came and saw it so often? No, I just remembered. I worked out the back. Do you remember? I was the one that was doing all the costume changes.
Yeah, you're our quick costume guy.
Once I was like going through the characters, I was like, oh yeah, kind of played that like Frankenfurter character. Terry?
Ted.
And that was the quickest change because he had the context in their Chumsville show. It was this guy named Ted who like was like twisting the words that were coming out in like all the banging songs, like all these like well-known songs.
He did Michael Bublé's it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, it's beginning to look a lot like so. Yeah. Has it started yet?
Is there some tinsel or is there no tinsel? And what happened? And what has to happen more now? More tinsel, like for it to be Christmas. Like, what is it looking like to begin to look like Christmas?
But he would come out for a bit of shock value, dressed as Frankenfurter. And I just remember he would like come out the back, and everything else was like. I was always there waiting with like a jacket. You just like turn around the slide.
Or a wig, a funny wig or a
necklace. There was always I was just holding something and then I'd put it on you. So
to catch people up who are new listeners of the podcast, it was a show where it was a fictional country town's open mic night that they did annually, and every character that me and Connor played was switched. So Connor would play a character, I'd play a character, Connor would play a character, I'd play a character. Yeah. Sometimes we would join each other on stage as an extra to our character, but very rarely.
Yeah.
And if we did that, it would normally be a character we played earlier in the show, which me and Connor realized at the end of the season, we've just done a duo show and we've actually really spent no stage time together.
Yeah.
Because whenever he's off stage, he's getting ready and I'm on stage performing.
Yeah.
So we never really shared the stage that much throughout the show. Yeah, but it was like, a great show.
Yeah, Sarah and Amy. They were together.
We had Sarah and Amy that were year five. They were dance enthusiasts and one of them really wanted to do ballet and the other one wanted to do jazz and hip hop.
I never thought of an 11-year-old being an enthusiast of anything. But actually, I've met a few 11-year-olds were in there. Yeah.
And we sang to, what's the song?
I gave you that song. Remember?
We'll sunshine. We'll it's something with sunshine.
Sunshine on a rainy day.
Christina knew. That's the one. Christina yeah, knew. It was that. That was the song we danced to.
So they used to rehearse at our house. And Will was like, we just need this song. We need a song for like these two girls.
Well, that stage we had Strawberry Kisses by Nikki Webster. That's what we were doing it to.
And I said, you should do this song.
Yeah. A nod to Sam Roberts in that show by taking his aid. Didn't get. We did because you were our costume changer backstage.
I did that for free.
Did you just have for free?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Fuck, we have good friends. We had such good friends back in the day. 2022, shout out to all our friends that helped us do our first show.
But did I get a free artist pass? Did I get something?
We gave you free tickets to the show, and I think we gave you a shirt. We definitely gave you shit. There was a deal. We cut a deal, I think. Because it was also... Because Lucy Payne, another good friend of ours, Lucy was... She was the costume person backstage for one or two of the shows. And Gemma. Yeah.
Friends of the
pod. Gemma was... Friends of the pod. Gemma was also the tech for the opening night because our tech, Sam Dolan, had potentially got COVID.
Right.
So Gemma teched the show. Our first ever show ever as self-producing artists.
Yes. That tech show was out of season. That was at Butterfly Club.
It was out of season. Yeah.
Then you did it again at Comedy Festival.
Comedy Fest, yeah.
And you fired me.
I fired you and I gave Sam Dolan the costume person job. He was our tech. So Sam's a great tech. He's a really, really good tech.
Yeah.
So we fired all our costume people and we needed to give Sam a job because he'd probably done the most work out of everyone. So we gave Sam the backstage costume job.
So I don't remember Sam Dolan making up schedules and fucking like... Full like lineups of like what's coming up, what you to
did,
put on them.
You did very good notes for us.
Yeah, I did.
Thank you. Can I give you a wholesome moment right now? Thank you so much for helping us with that.
You're so welcome. Because do you know what happened?
Yes.
I started writing my own shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, to be honest, like me and Connor don't talk about it. I think we've talked about it once before. I think about it a lot. But like... One thing I really hold pride in that show is that we were the first to go after uni.
Yeah. I mean, it was built into us and the general consensus, and I think probably for you guys as well, is that what you're going to do is go out and audition for everything that you can stick your hand in.
Agreed.
And
but then also everyone who had graduated before us and had probably had 5 years on us, we're telling us at the same time, no, that's not your job. Your job is to write your own shit and to perform that.
Yeah.
Do not audition for shit. You're never going to get anywhere.
Right? I'm having so much fun just creating my own stuff. And then, like, one day, maybe, you know, like, if I've got a bit of, you know, a bit under my belt, I'll be like, all right, I'll audition for that because that looks fun to me.
Yeah.
But, like... How fun is it just, like, getting to, like, do what you want to do, play what you want to play, be where you want to be? It's fun.
It's fun. It's really fun. And then you get absolute control over your show.
Yeah. Like, you get to put songs in the key that you want them in.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I remember Chikorita singing that song. I was actually so proud of you because I remember you telling me how shit scared you were to sing on stage. But you fucking nailed it.
I nailed it because I made sure the scene was meant to be shit. Does that make sense?
It was so perfect. You were just like too rough and tumble, like love struck.
We're still talking about our first show, Chumsville. The actual name of it was the annual Chumsville South North Tavern in Open Mic Night.
Yeah.
But we call it Chumsville now. Chumsville, yeah, it was. Yeah, tough. I was really scared for that. Like, whenever I did my warm-up, I'd do my warm-up and then tell Connor to fuck off, and then I'd go and sit at the piano and do a song, and do the song, the Chikorita song.
It was great.
It was so hard, man. Have you ever done something on stage where you're like, this is not my forte at all, but I've got to do it to entertain?
No. I write shows that showcase my talents.
But you've never been... Fuck off. Fuck off. You've never done a show at uni, though, that you're like, you're forced to do like a dance number in. You're like, this is not.
Oh, yeah. We did a chorus line for our third year show.
Yeah.
And for anyone listening at home, she's not a dancer. Yet she was
She's not.
She was doing high kicks.
I'm not a dancer at all.
Oh, my God.
And I did the tap number as well in Chumsville. There was one tap number in Chumsville, and yeah, Connor made me do it as well. So,
hey, you kick some goals in tap.
I moved up a level. Yeah. I still
more levels than me.
Yeah, Sam stayed in the bottom level.
I stayed in the bottom one. Level.
My favorite thing from Chumsville was our tap teacher from uni came, because it was amazing.
And shout out to Aiden Reed.
Shout out to Aiden Reed, an absolute legend.
Yeah.
He was incredible. Eden's thing was like third year uni, he got told to choreograph and pretty much direct the final showcase for the actors, where we all had to do a tap dance like number outside for COVID reasons.
Yeah.
And I brought a drone because my dad had a drone.
Yeah. And that was such a good shot.
And I filmed it so fucking well. So he said to me after he came to see Chumsville, he's like, look, gonna be honest, I get invited to see a lot of shows every year by past students, and I often don't go because I don't have enough time, but I felt like I had to come to yours because you made me look so good at my job last year. Like, I had to come. I did a tap number, and I remember looking at him while I did it, and it was like the biggest, proudest smile.
To give context too, it was a very funny gag where it was essentially like a gag about someone crossing the line. So they were like, they set Will up to be this like, you know, very controversial comedian that's going to come out. He may say some jokes you don't approve of, you know, but like, he's, you know, he may cross the line, but like, you know, let's give him a round of applause. And then he comes out, he doesn't say any jokes. He tap dances, and he just taps closer and closer to this line on the board that he was tapping on.
I believe I have the board in this cupboard behind me right now.
I believe
now.
You.
Yeah, like it's essentially, it was a long bit we got, like a lot bit of MDF, like a long bit of MDF we got from Bunnings that had a bit of red gaffer on it and some permanent marker to prove where the line was on this bit of MDF, and I tap dance from the back of the MDF going up towards the top.
So funny.
That's the bit.
So silly.
We
love silly.
We do love silly. That's the idea of the podcast, I think.
I think it's the idea of like everything that we create. Like, I think, so Will is the director on my show. And it's very, like, a very big point that I just wanted this entire show that I'm doing at Adelaide Fringe and Melbourne Comedy Festival to just be fun and silly and just give people a full escapism for a full hour. Just be like, that was just pure joy.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think your new show's doing the same thing, right?
Yeah. The People's Champion.
Yeah, the People's
Plug
Champion.
Plug your show, please.
I'm doing Not for Children's Programming, which is an adult version of Play School.
Yep.
I'm doing that at Melbourne Comedy Festival in April. And I'm doing Adelaide Fringe in like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, which I'm very, it would be March 11th. Yeah. Which is the same date as you, right?
It is. It's the 11th to the 17th.
Yeah.
We have the exact same time. So our shows are at the 11th to 17th. Of March at Adelaide Fringe at 9 PM.
Yeah. In
different
theatres across the road from each other.
Yeah. Different theatres.
Yeah.
We're not sharing a stage. We're not that cheap.
We're split billing it. No, we're not. But yeah, I really enjoy the art that we're making because it's just very fun.
It's very silly. And I loved watching your show at Fringe because you did like more or less a trial show at Fringe.
Yeah, we were just like testing the waters. I'd only ever done one show before that. So it was like, all right, the first show was my personal story about me coming out and playing football for 23 years. This is now like, who do I want to be as a performer? What kind of performer do I want to be? And we found a really fun niche spot.
I think so. I think you accessed what the niche theme was and I enhanced it with the clown.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably the one argument we had throughout working out like what the show is was you wearing an eye patch.
Yes. So this...
This is perfect because we do need to wrap up the podcast because we're almost an hour and a half long podcast.
Wow. We talked for that long.
We've talked for that long. And so we started the podcast talking about chlamydia. We should end the podcast talking about chlamydia.
Yes, all right. It may come up in my show. So we were rehearsing my show for Adelaide Fringe, for Melbourne Fringe last year.
One last top up?
What do you reckon? Yeah, one last top up. And Will had just returned home from France and just been at clown school. And so we're doing these rehearsals and he's like, I think you need like an eye patch. There was another part where you're like, you know, spin on this chair and it'd be really funny to like contort your body and stuff. And I just had to remind Will, you went to clown school. I didn't go to clown school. But thankfully it worked out better in the long run because all these little clowning moments, all these little like heightened moments to sort of go from like me telling, you know, what a reasonably funny story.
Going from more or less one scene to the other.
Yeah. All of a sudden it becomes hilarious because we're heightening those moments to something that are just so ridiculous and funny.
Yep.
It's a good show. You should come see it.
It's a good show. Now, that is called Not For Children's Programming, and it's performing at the Adelaide Fringe from the 11th to the 17th at 9 p.m. of March.
Yes.
The 11th to the 17th of March. Are you doing Comedy Festival as well?
I am. I'm doing April the 11th to the 21st at the Motley Bow House.
Upstairs, downstairs?
Upstairs in a little cabaret room.
Very nice. And I will be directing that one.
And teching it.
And teching it. Double barreling the jobs, baby. And I'm also performing Adelaide Fringe the 11th to the 17th at 9 p.m. Same as Sam. That is William Boyd, the People's Champion. And I'm also doing Melbourne International Comedy Festival. My dates are the 8th to the 21st at 9:40 p.m. So what time are you and what dates?
11th at Comedy Festival.
At Comedy Fest.
I'm the 11th to the 21st of April.
The 11th.
I've had too much Outback Jack.
Yeah, it's wild. This Outback Jack's killing us.
Yeah.
That's the bottle too, by the way. We've emptied it.
We've emptied the bottle. Look at this
go. That's an empty bottle. Right there. That is an empty bottle.
And there's two of them. I'm doing it at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Or 7:15. I'm not sure. Okay. You look it up.
I'm taking it, so I hope it's about 7:15.
Well, you should add me on Instagram at sizzle _ me _ timber. And then you can find all of my ticket info there.
Sizzle _ Samuel.
Sizzle _ me _ timber.
It's sizzle me timber. Sorry.
Sizzle
sorry,
me timber.
Sorry. That's the one. Sizzle me timber with underscores in between each word.
That's it.
Nailed it. And I'm William Boyd _. I really want to contact William Boyd on Instagram and be like, brother, how much for the name?
Do you want to know something terrible?
Go for it.
I had Samuel Roberts back in 2008, like 2012.
Did you actually?
I had Samuel Roberts on Instagram. And I changed it to Sizzle Me Timber.
And now you're stuck with it.
And I can't go back.
Someone's taken Samuel Roberts?
Oh, millions of Samuels have taken Samuel Roberts.
So what have you got now? What are the options? It's like...
No, I'm not going
Samuel
back.
Roberts.
Sizzle Me Timber's so funny.
Sizzle Me Timber.
It's so dumb.
Where does it come from?
Do we have time?
Yeah, we've got 2 minutes.
So when I turned 18... It was like one of the first footy functions that we went to, and it was a mystery bus tour. Yeah. And it finished in Sea Lake, and my older brother used to live in Sea Lake, so I stayed at his house, and I was 18. I was drinking all afternoon, and I was done. So I went to bed, and my brother and my brother-in-law, funny enough, came home, and they tried to wake me up, and my brother was like, he went to go say Sam, but he went, sizzle. And then they just piss themselves laughing. And then everyone's called me that ever since.
Everyone's called you Sizzle since? Yeah. Oh, good. Like, did your brother even call you Sizzle?
It's only Sizz.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then all of his kids call me Uncle Sizz.
Uncle Sizz.
My friend AJ calls me Mo Sizzle.
I love that.
I get called Sausage Sizzle.
Sausage Sizzle.
Which is kind of fitting.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Well, there you go. Go see Sizzle for not for children's programming and allied friends and Melbourne Comedy Festival. And anyway, we'll end it there. That's Free and Friend of the Pod podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I love you very much. Any closing remarks, Sam, really quickly? One liner.
I'll see you in court.
He says, pointing to the talent release form. See you next week. Thank you very much.
Bye.
This podcast. Oh, that was the wrong button. I'm so sorry. This is the right button.